Okay, welcome everybody to the By Yahweh's Design conference call, basically our little family call on Wednesday evening. So today is the 8th of March, year 2023, and that's pretty much it. We don't have the usual material up front. Oh, Kumri's here, yeah. So this is a time for... As I told one gentleman that called me today, it's a time of fellowship. It's kind of like church without the formality. A lot of people enjoyed that aspect of going to church where they could fellowship with everybody, even though the preachers weren't telling the whole truth and they got caught up in all the ritualism. But the fellowship part with decent people is what people are missing. And they kind of look at our little Wednesday night chat as a chance to fellowship with like-minded people. So kudos to all the family members out there that come in and, you know, bring reports and bring uplifting testimonials, bring concerns. So as I told a couple people I invited here tonight, if they come, and I just said it's a chance to, you know, take and settle down as if you're amongst family and say whatever's on your mind, whatever on your heart. Because these are troubling times, and what we aspire to do here is bring truth in a world full of lies and deceptions to the people that are seeking the truth. Because a lot of these zombies out here, they don't care. You could say, hey, I got a bushel full of truth over here. Would you like some? And they'll just keep right on walking. They're not interested. They're self-absorbed, and they're into the Babylonian way of things, and they're completely content with that. So it's kind of sad, but it's the way of the world. I mean, it's just the way it is. So anyway, the open forum, and if anybody has anything, go ahead and grab the mic, or we don't have raise your hand here, do we? I'm looking for reactions. Yeah, I guess we do have a raise your hand down in the lower on the menu there where it says reactions. You can have a like, dislike, laugh, encourage, agree, or raise hand. So I'm going to try that and see if it works. I mean, oh yeah, it does. Okay, cool. Yep, there you go. And you just click on it again and it takes it down. So we can do it like a regular meeting, where we do the Robert's Rules of Order and everybody raises their hand when they want to say something. Go ahead, Ella, you got your hand up.
I just wanted to say, was it John that was talking about family and difference of people? I don't think we can even equate what we have here with family. What we have here is love between people. Family itself now has no love between them. It's gone.
What I've seen lately,
compared to what I saw 50 years ago, family is no longer family. Family is your enemy now. That's what I've been seeing. That's why I look forward to these little attendee meetings that we have here now, because these are people that are going to be with us in our mindset from now on. Because the minds of the people out there in the world now are beyond us. It's corrupt. They listen to the evil ones, the ones with the bad attitudes, the ones that have had the jabs, that have had their bodies changed, and probably mentally they're thinking, I shouldn't have done that, but they will never admit to us that they made a mistake. But yet their mental attitude toward us gets more segregatory than just strangers on the street. Strangers on the street now give us more kindness than family do, because the family members that don't agree with each other are becoming enemies now at this point. It saddens me. I yield.
Yeah, so you're talking the difference between a biological family versus a spiritual family. So
yes, exactly.
Yeah, many of us have biological family members that are spiritually night and day different than us, and yet people that don't share our DNA are much closer to us spiritually. It reminds me when Christ was visiting that home, and they were having fellowship, and his mother and his brothers showed up, and some guy tapped him on the shoulder and said, "Yeshua, your family's here." And he said, "My family's in here." So it looks like nothing's changed in 2,000 years. We still have the same issues going on. People you would think you could count on to have your back and whatnot end up being your worst enemies, and people that come out of the blue and whatever actually show that they're closer to you and support you more than your own flesh and blood. So I yield. Floor is open. Anybody has a comment, question, report, has a need, prayer request, anything, go ahead and jump on in here. It's pretty much an open mic. If we get too much clutter going on, we'll go back to the raising of hands. But as long as you keep your mic muted when you're not speaking so we don't get the background noise, that would be greatly appreciated. But feel free to jump in and just try to not walk on somebody when they're speaking. So does anybody have anything? Anything new? I'm trying to think. Oh, I see Henry's here. So how's it going up there in the state? Did you see that video put out by Brendan O'Connell about New Hampshire, Henry?
I watched about 25, 30 minutes of it. I don't watch a lot by Brendan O'Connell. I don't know whether or not to trust him or not. He's interesting. I didn't get the full gist of it, but I certainly understood what he was talking about with the corruption in Vermont. But he's interesting, but I don't know. Do you pay a lot of attention to him?
Well, normally I don't have anybody in particular I pay a lot of attention to.
Well, neither do I. Yeah.
But the fact that he had that, what was his name? Mike Gill? Is that the guy that was with him?
Yeah.
Mike Gill is a multimillionaire who ran for governor, and because he's a completely honest man, they tried to destroy him because he wouldn't take a $50 million bribe to look the other way while the organized crime members of all the people with the little hats that are running all the crime and money laundering and sex slave trading and all that through New Hampshire, he wouldn't go along with it, and so they're trying to destroy him. They've made two attempts to kill him. So that's the part that struck me as interesting. Not so much Brendan O'Connell, but his guest seems to be legitimate. And he was putting a lot of pieces together about who's who in the zoo and who's behind the scenes and all of this absolutely tremendous corruption. And he put the focus on New Hampshire and their politicians and tied them all in with the bankers and internationalists. And it's no wonder we can't get any justice today. I mean, they've got everything wrapped up through the banking system and total control of government and corporations and the courts. That's why there's no progress. I mean, these monsters control virtually every aspect of our society. So it's going to take divine intervention and all of us standing our ground to become the stumbling block, just like Scripture says. When the righteous refuse to budge, you become a stumbling block. And this Mr. Gill, the millionaire, became a stumbling block to the corrupt political machine in New Hampshire. So that's the part I found kind of interesting. Normally, I'm not sure how to take Brendan O'Connell, but, you know, he's also outed that, what is his name, Russell Brand, as a controlled opposition.
Oh, no question about Russell Brand. I never doubted that. The few times I've ever listened to any content that O'Connell has ever made, I found him a little bit confusing, and he gets into such detail that if you don't follow him a lot more, he tends to go off in a lot of tangents that I'm just not aware of, or whether, and I can't tell whether or not he's a full truth teller or not. I wasn't even going to listen to this. It's funny you asked me specifically about that particular link, because you sent about 20 at least, and that I only picked that was like the only one I picked to even listen to, and I didn't listen to the whole thing. Like I said, I even jumped about 30 minutes in. I was a little hesitant at first to even listen, because I think from the title of the link, or the title of the show, or whatever you want to call it, I can't remember what it was, but Trump's name was in it, and I couldn't tell whether or not he has switched to being someone who actually thinks that Trump, I heard nothing in the content that he actually said that Trump is going against these scoundrels. But because in the past he's been completely open about the fact that he thinks Trump is part of the game, and of course I believe that as well. But I thought I saw something in the title of it that led me to believe he was switching on that, but that I didn't hear anything specific in the content. And again, I didn't hear the whole thing, so I don't know if you listened to the whole thing or not. But did he reveal anything that he thinks about Trump now that's different from his past stance, which was that Trump was a total deep state piece of shit?
If you listen to the whole thing, you kind of get the idea that those two gentlemen think Trump is being used by both sides to some degree, and that he's got the deep state somewhat upset because he's not playing ball completely, even though he is going along with a lot of their crap.
Yeah, that I find a little disturbing, because I don't see anything about Trump that is redeeming in any way.
Right.
So I don't
know. That was a small part of it. The main focus was on the criminality of the powerful political and business and banking community, particularly in New Hampshire. I mean, totally corrupt from the governor down. And he ties it all together with the bloodlines, obviously the Jews. He ties that all together. So Trump and what he thought about that was conjecture, and it was a very small part of the report. So, again, as I tell people, chew the meat and spit out the bones. Anything trying to tell me Trump's a good guy, I consider that a bone and I throw it away. But when you're exposing what these Zionist pigs are doing, and they're very close to the end of just shutting what used to be our country completely down, that's the part I want people to pay attention to. None of this, we have white hats or good guys or any of that stuff, because as I tell many of my friends, I don't see the evidence of it. It would be beautiful if it's true. I just don't see the evidence. I just see everything's
there is none.
Swirling down, down, down. The enemy's getting away with literally murder and rape. I haven't seen any of the bad actors actually held accountable. We keep hearing that Gitmo is doing this and that, and bad people are being hung and all that, I would love to know that. But if you're going to do it in secret, what makes you any different than the deep state? Okay. Our savior told us that we got to be up front. Everything's done in public. Trials are held in public. There is no formality that says you've got to use a lawyer. You got to do it a certain way. No. You have an accused and an accuser. You do it in public in front of the judges. And in this case, we'd have a jury to work with our judges. And when the evidence comes back and says you're guilty of murder, rape, kidnapping, any of that stuff, you're taken out in the field and hung. Okay? That's true justice. You don't put in a body double and do it in secrecy in some so-called prison and say, like, Lee Harvey Oswald was killed. Joke, he's sitting on an island somewhere sipping Mai Tais. Same thing with Epstein and all the rest of them. How convenient that somebody gets shot or executed in a prison where nobody can see. You can't see who or what is done. Everything's done in secrecy. Well, if it's secret, it's star chamber, and it's what the enemy does. It's certainly not what we as believers are supposed to do. So sooner or later, we gotta start holding these people accountable. We really do. And that's the part where if we have good sheriffs, but even if we don't, we'll elect our own. We'll elect our own local leaders, working with our posses and or militia and our common law, biblical law courts, and we have to bring justice ourselves. It's not going to come from the system. It's corrupt. It was corrupt from the beginning, and it's certainly corrupt today. People have to understand that. We don't have any white knights that are going to save us. We have to rise up as true believers and do what the good book says, fight evil with whatever weapons we're given, period. As one guy put a video out that says, running from the fight is not biblical. I think Bradley Dean with Sons of Liberty put that out recently. Nowhere in Scripture does it say it's okay to run from evil. Okay, you resist evil. You fight the bad guys. You don't run from them. You don't turn your children or your families over to these monsters. I yield.
Yeah, I would agree with that for the most part. But I also, first of all, I have almost zero confidence that anything that you are exposed to, that they give you exposure to on the net today, is trustworthy, unlike even as little as 3 or 4 years ago. So consequently, I spend a lot less time even looking at stuff. I was even surprised. I surprised myself by even looking at that Brendan O'Connell video today, basically because of what I just said. So, I don't trust anybody anymore. I've just been in this game long enough now to see the change that's taken place in just the amount of time that I've been awake, which is about 7 or 8 years. To the point where if they show it to you, whether it's on television, internet, any of these channels like BitChute, YouTube, especially YouTube, I think it's because they want you to see it. And sometimes it's not always obvious to our eyes why they would want us to see something that seems to be going against them. But they are always two steps ahead of us in, as far as psychology and brainwashing. And so I just don't want to be part of that much anymore. So I am withdrawing somewhat and just relying on my own instincts and research and using the Bible as my guide. So the days of following the individuals who call themselves content creators on the internet, for me, are over.
Well, we definitely have to be on our guard as far as what we're letting into our eyes and ears. Just as Scripture says, be careful of that, because a lot of it is basically bad actors performing a play. I mean, a lot of these politicians, news media, celebrities, sports figures, all that, they're just reading script They're just following a dialogue like on a movie set.
Yeah, but that's pretty much been the case for a long time. I'm more referring to the so-called alt media, which I've seen a drastic change, a shift in as far as infiltration and what's that word they use today? Gaslighting and all this is nonsense. It's just there's not much I can do with my time, but I'm not going to exhaust myself spinning my wheels with people who I don't trust anymore, and I don't find too many of them trustworthy. I think most of them, it's easy to listen to somebody, but the test of time is usually the revealing factor, and that's what I've been finding. So, and the other thing is, if someone comes out of the blue, and this goes back not just recently, but this goes back for years. If somebody all of a sudden just is popular, almost like an overnight success, and he's got all these followers and it's popular, it's like, that's an immediate sign to me that they're there for a purpose to, be a gatekeeper or shift your belief, try to just divert, give conflicting opinions about the conflicting versions of things just to confuse, clutter your mind. And I just don't want that much anymore, that shit.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, it's the old saying, the adversary will let you tell an ocean of truth as long as you float his lie on the top.
Well, he's good at that.
That's what a lot of these alternate media folks are, is they're simply doing the bidding of the wicked, floating their lies on the top of an ocean of truths, truths that we all know. They're not bringing anything new to us very often.
I'm not sure I can name any single individual right now that I think I could trust completely. So, and I don't even, that's a bad word, completely. I don't think there's anyone out there right now that I would put too much credence in anything they say. Because if they're out there now at this point in the game, where the enemy is always anticipating and, like I said, a couple of steps ahead. It's like it's almost too late. Like if you're a relatively new person that's kind of catching fire for truth and seeking truth, I almost feel sorry for you, because I just compare it to when I woke up 7 years ago. There definitely were some legitimate people telling the truth and at least giving you some good information and leads. It's always up to you as an individual to do your due diligence and make sure, whether or not they're a trustworthy source. But the difference today compared to even 5, 6, 7 years ago is it's pretty drastic. So not good. Not good. If you're waking up now, you're more likely to be led down some nonsensical paths, good luck.
Well, that's why 23 years ago when we started the radio show, and even before that when we attended gatherings, we told people that the elect of the latter days, which were all part of that group of people, the elect have a very tough job, because in the midst of all of this chaos and lies, etc., we have to be examples. We have to be living Bibles, living scripture to the world around us. And the reason why I stressed it back then is you must be knowledgeable and you must maintain truth. Because of that very thing that you just said, when things start falling apart, people are going to remember the people that truly cared and the people that were honest and did their best to be truthful and to be helpful over the long haul, not just the short haul, not just to commit fraud or steal something or to make money, all of those kind of things, but people who genuinely cared and stood the test of time, okay? And right now, that's very important for all of us. The people that we've known through thick and thin, over the bumpy roads, we stayed true. Just like Christ said, if you can't love me more than everything on this earth, if you can't stay with me even in the trials and tribulations, then you don't deserve me. And so these people are going to see, well, you know, was Henry or Kumri or Jennifer or Susan or Charles or Ella, were they truthful? Did they tell me the hard truths even when I didn't want to hear it? That they're going to, just like my cousins that called me, it's been about a year ago now, that told me for 30 years at the family reunions, they thought I was batshit crazy. They thought I was out of my mind. You know, I was coming with conspiracy theories and New World Order stuff and the Jews and all these different topics that they just weren't used to hearing. And so they thought I was out of my mind. And they called to apologize. Decades later, it took a long time, but decades later, they called back and said that, you know, it looks like you were the one that was right all along, and we were the ones that weren't paying attention. We weren't reading the tea leaves. And again, that's why it's important. Like my dad used to tell me all the time, once you lose somebody's respect, it takes a long time to earn it back. And what his point was, don't do the things that are going to cause somebody to lose their respect for you, because it's very, very difficult to get it back. And it's also a pity because you may have the answer they need, but they're not going to hear it because you lied to them or took advantage of them or whatever, and so now they're not going to listen to you. So, okay. I yield. Does anybody else have something? Charles, you haven't said anything. Ella's here. Kumri hasn't said anything. We got Susan here and Jennifer. Anybody have anything?
Are we all muted?
No, everybody's open. If you're muted, you're self-muted.
Oh, no.
Okay. I'm open, too.
Hi, Ella.
Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, Ella.
Hi, Charles.
Hi, Charles. Hi, Susan.
Hi, everybody.
Yep, I guess we've all said hi.
Yep.
So we finally got a break in the weather here, and I've been out in the sun quite a bit now. But they're spraying like crazy. Just, you know, every time it blows away, I go in the backyard and lay out. I actually even got to wear shorts. So.
Well, for the people that are listening to the recording, where is here so they know what you're talking about?
Northern New Mexico, near the Colorado border. We got a lot of snow, but not as much as California.
Wow.
So some of the trees in the park started breaking off, and some people are out there now cleaning up the park, because since COVID, they shut down our local park, and the kids that, it's a memorial park, and the kids that come for the summer youth program to clean it, they haven't done it, but they are getting ready to clean it up this summer so we could have, I hate to say this, but Spanish music in the park. I'm like, oh no. Here we go, you know, but because they do have, like, you know, a broadcasting system, and there's a baseball field and horseshoes So they're going to, you know, start celebrating more.
I mean, we're not, our county hasn't really ever been on much of a lockdown at all. But, yeah, and then hardly anybody died from the COVID shot because it's true. They targeted the red states. New Mexico was, like, at the rock bottom, and the same with Colorado. So, it's like, yeah, they figured this whole thing out.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I mean, the ones, my next door neighbor got four shots, and three shots, another booster, and then she went and got a flu shot, and she's got a lady taking care of her, and the lady that takes care of her said, "Oh no, I'm not getting a vaccine. I worked out with her." And I'm like, "Oh, okay, good." And she said, "And neither is my son. My mother told me all about vaccines a long time ago." And I said, "And you're working around her?" And she goes, "Yeah, she said six shots already." And I told her, I said, "You need to, if you want, I just made some EDTA cream." And I said, "If you want, you need to get on this EDTA, to help prevent her from shedding on you, if that's true." I don't know if it is. Maybe Susan knows more if it is shedding on other people. But, you know, I don't spend any time in the room with that lady. But I do go to the gym, and I'm sure there's been people in there that have gotten the vaccine and are shedding. So.
Well, all I know is it wasn't but a few months ago, somewhere in the area of late December, early January, I went with family members to a local gym to work out, and within a week of going there, I came down with about 10 days worth of severe flu symptoms, when I haven't been sick at all for quite some time, and I attribute it to, well, I was on the road, so that was one thing. I wasn't getting my normal food and supplements like I normally do, but I was also exposed to a bunch of heathens who I'm sure some of them were jabbed, and I attribute some of that to them. I got better, but I do believe being around these people with that stuff in them could affect you. I'm not saying it'll kill you, but I think it could affect you. So personally, I try to stay away from the zombies. I call them the zombies. I just try to stay away from them, and I don't go out a whole lot. Don't do much except go get the few things I can't grow myself or whatever, and stay at home a lot. Go outside in the yard, but I don't go to public places very often just for that reason. I just don't want to be around them. It reminds me of the scripture where it said that at the end of the age he would separate the wheat and the tares, and it almost feels like that's exactly what we're going on, what's going on, because everybody that calls me, and as usual, a lot of phone calls today, but people are exasperated because at this point in time, it's just like Christ said, "I came to bring a sword," and with that sword, he's dividing friendships, relationships, family ties, co-worker ties, health worker and client ties, because of these issues that we're facing. The people that have their heads screwed on straight are in one camp. Those that believe in the Father are in one camp, and the zombies are in a completely other camp. They've gone over the way of Babylon almost completely, and the people on our side just don't want anything to do with them.
May I speak? This is Susan.
Absolutely. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here, and thank you very much for letting us have this social time, Dan, and everyone else, and my husband, we'll call him Len for tonight. He's here as well.
Hi, Dan.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
No, I'm doing all right.
So, Ella has actually said this, and it's kind of strange, but quote, if our skin is intact, we cannot, quote, catch, quote, anything from anyone through it. Okay, so let me just address that. There are all sorts of things that are, let's say, agents that are pathogenic. That means they're harmful. So these harmful agents can come and encounter our bodies at any time. And we tend to think of them, we, the people who live in Western culture, as solely material substances, because that's what we've been entrained to believe since about the 1950s with the philosophical materialism. In other words, the only thing that exists is something that is material, was the idea. And we're still falling for that. By contrast, over in the East, in Russia and China, they always saw, observed, witnessed, eyewitnessed, and knew scientifically that other sorts of things called physical agents existed. They knew that electromagnetism was powerful, and temperature and barometric pressure and gravity, all these things that are a little bit ineffable. They're not substances. You can't touch them, but they're real. They're measurable with measuring equipment, so they are real. But we tend just to ignore them or not to believe in them because that's how we're raised in our culture. And it's inaccurate. It's deceptive. So one thing I would point out about the pores in the skin is that there are very good studies that show that the pores in the skin act as receptors, almost as antennas, but definitely receptors of microwave radiation, in especially in millimeter, but also centimeter wavelengths. So think of how big a millimeter is. If you try to touch your thumb to your index finger and just get as close as you possibly can without touching, that's near a millimeter. Or if you take your index finger and you put it kind of next to and inside your thumb, what you end up with is a square centimeter inside your index finger. So So the wavelengths of these sizes are very well absorbed. In fact, they definitely penetrate the body very well, if only by a small amount. Now, when you get larger wavelengths, let's say, you know, up to, let's say, 5 inches, which is what Wi-Fi usually is at 22.4 gigahertz, well, then you've got a wave that is eminently absorbed by your organs, because that's a range, let's say from 5 to 10, or even 2, like 1 to 10 inches. In that realm, you've got a lot of organs in your body that have dimensions that approximate that wavelength. And as a wavelength approaches body part size, the absorption, or you could say the penetration, increases exponentially, even toward what's called resonance. Okay? So this is, oh, and I'm sorry, if somebody's saying they don't like me launching into a lecture. That's what Charles is saying. He's also laughing at me. He's saying, ha, 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 Henry, what on earth prompted you to apprehend that Susan might be starting to launch into a lecture? So the thing is,
Susan,
here's
where may I interject?
No, not yet. I'm still speaking because I wanted to answer
your
question.
Oh, you're in control here. I see. I thought this was an open discussion.
Well, I have to tell you that Ella actually asked me to do this. Is that an okay answer?
Proceed.
Thank you.
I what?
Yeah, you asked me.
I didn't ask anybody for anything about catching. I've been an RN for almost 40 years. I have never seen anybody catch something through the skin by contact when their skin was intact. I am not talking about other things like radiation, magnetism, electromagnetism, and things that not go through the skin, but go through things like X-rays. Those can harm your organs inside, yes, by just going through you. But I'm talking about things like impetigo, colds, flus, whatever respiratory things that you have. If they're not airborne, you cannot catch them through your skin. It's impossible. Yahweh made
your skin. Let me tell you about somebody. Let me tell you about someone who died recently. Okay, I'm a medical person who died as a result of exposure to shedding people. Our dear friend Tim.
I don't believe it.
That's a shame. You know, I'm also a public health scientist, Harvard, and I appreciate your being an RN. You have lots of experience. I do too. So our dear friend Tim was married to a Honduran woman who had brought her family here illegally, her brothers and so on. And Tim and Maria were living happily over in Vero Beach. They had 10 acres. They were growing all their own food or most of it. And Tim was very energetic and active, very healthy, all organic, everything they ate. They never had any vaccines. They never allowed any kinds of shots for the kids, the three kids. Very pure lifestyle. But one day, Maria's relatives came to sort of help out with some work that Tim was doing. And unbeknownst to anybody, they had just been injected with what is falsely called a vaccine. The COVID shot is not a vaccine, but it's a shot, and it has a lot of very toxic, very hazardous materials in it, including at the nano level. Okay, nano goes through just about anything. Okay, it's like if you put hydrogen peroxide on your skin, it will go into your skin, okay, because it's a tiny molecule. Anyway, so Tim was working closely with them and immediately came down with a terrible heart condition. He had never had a heart condition before. It was complete irregularity, chest pain, back pain, complete fatigue. And this happened very suddenly. At the very same time, Maria and the 13-year-old girl, Maria had never, ever had an irregular period in her life. She and the daughter were suddenly bleeding so heavily that they couldn't go anywhere, couldn't go to school or work or anything. They just had to be in the bathroom all day. She even put it this way to me. She said there was no menstrual product that she could use so that she could stand and walk around during the day. This all happened at the same time. From an epidemiological, toxicological point of view, we say, oh gosh, that timing is significant. Well, time went on, and Tim got worse and worse and worse and could barely function. He had always been very, very energetic. What happened? The only thing that happened to change anything was exposure to these recently injected things. So guess what? On December 21st, we had wanted to get him to a nurse practitioner, one of the top in the country, who specializes in dysautonomia. We thought maybe that would help. And he said to me, quote, "I'm not the man I used to be," unquote. And he had never sounded like that before. 2 days later, he was dead. You know how? His heart was so irregular that when, on December 23rd, he took a nice hot drink of coffee with sugar, it so excited his heart that it killed him. And so you could say, well, that's indirect. It was also partly the coffee. But what started the heart condition at all? The only changed factor was what affected all three of them in the house. No, none of the other children were in the house at during that time. They were in a different city. It was only those three in the house. So that's just one instance, but I could give you probably another dozen off the top of my head. And Christina Northrup, doctor, you know, very prominent doctor, you know of her, she could give you more than 1,000 of these that she's collected. Thank you. I yield.
Thank you. Yep. Okay, mic's open. Anybody want to respond or have an issue they want to talk about? I think the situation since the beginning of 2020, so now we're talking 3 years into this nonsensical period of time, almost everybody I'm aware of has lost loved ones, family, friends, associates of one sort or another to this insanity that we're going through right now. I don't have all of the scientific/medical reasons for it. I'm just going by empirical observation. There's just too many things happening for it to be simply a coincidence. So whatever the junk is in these injections, it is not good for the body. We are warned in Scripture to be careful what we put in our bodies. These are temples, okay? I've believed that since I was a little boy. I attribute my pretty darn good health clear up into my age due to the fact that I read that in the Bible and I believed it. It made sense to me. My body is a temple, therefore I'm not going to put a known poison in it to do harm to it. That's one reason I've never got a piercing. I've never got a tattoo. I've never been an alcoholic. I've never been a drug addict. I believe what the Bible said, all things in moderation, whether it's food, alcohol, pharmaceuticals, you name it, work, pleasure, you can go overboard with any of it. You're supposed to do it all in moderation. And when you do that, you generally are blessed with good health. And that's what I've observed in my lifetime. And I'm seeing many people lose that because they forgot that simple rule. You know, it's just like the food laws. I argue with the food laws with people all the time. Well, that was then. I love that when people don't like what you're saying, whether the conversation's about circumcision, any of the old ways of our people, the very first argument they'll give you when they don't like what you're saying is, well, that was then. As if Yahweh himself has changed, as if the laws of nature have changed, as if mankind has changed. The answer to that is no, they have not. The biblical rules are timeless. Timeless. And they apply today every bit as much as they did to our ancestors thousands of years ago. There is no difference. I remember telling one congregation, I said, what did Christ do to a pig that made it go from being unclean the day before his crucifixion to all of a sudden it's clean now the day after? Because that's what you people are saying. Because Christ came, lived here, now all of the admonitions of the Old Testament are gone. So my favorite question is, okay, what changed? Are you trying to tell me that God just waved his hand over the whole earth and now pigs are this delicious food to eat? And all of the shellfish and squids and alligators and all that stuff and sharks and everything, just go out and eat it. If you can kill it and put it on a grill, it's okay. Mm-hmm. Well, now you see why people are getting hip replacements and having joint problems, and men in their 30s are taking little blue pills because nothing works the way it's supposed to, all over the place, because we are flaunting the laws of the Creator and we're making excuses simply to satisfy our, quote, wants. Well, let me know how that works out for you, because in my day, and in my life, every time I've done that, then things went very, very badly for me. And so at a very young age, I learned that if you follow the Father's rules, life goes a whole lot smoother. You won't be popular for it. You won't become probably a billionaire or be invited to the Rothschild banquet by telling the truth, but you will be blessed with sound sleep, a clear conscience, and a healthy body, which a lot of people out here, I mean, look at some of these rich people. They look like trolls. They look like somebody did something to the mold when they were being created, because they don't look normal. I mean, they got bad teeth. They got bad skin. They got bad bone structure, bad texture. They look like aliens, a lot of them. You look at these like Zuckerberg and that newest young punk Jew that was part of that FTX fiasco. You ever notice that all of these fiascos with bitcoins and banking and Facebook and Twitter, all that, these are young kikes. Has anybody drawn that conclusion? They're all young kikes. Duh. You know, and all of them got to be in their position because they were put there by their because of their connections to the intelligence agencies. Nobody in his right mind is going to convince me that Zuckerberg or this, what's his name, Bankman, whatever, Fried or whatever, that they actually did anything to make all that money, just like Jeffrey Epstein was a complete moron. He's a pervert, but he sure as hell wasn't a proper money manager. He was given millions and billions of dollars to deal with by the Mossad and the rich Jews because he would do their bidding. But he himself, no, he was an idiot. Zuckerberg's an idiot. This Bankman-Fried's an idiot. They're all idiots. They're just actors putting on a face in front of the screen, reading a script, pretending to be inventors and innovators and all that when they're nothing of the kind. They're typical of their race. They're morons. And I don't know why our people believe it and fall for that crap. I yield. The floor is open. What do you got, folks?
Does anybody know anything about taking food-grade hydrogen peroxide drops? Because there's a book out called The Two-Minute Miracle, and my friend sent me some of the stuff about it, and so I just wondered if it's worth it to do. Maybe Ella or...
It's got a tremendous, it's an oxygenator, so because of the oxygen in it, but the food grade, if you get food grade, I think it's 35%, it can burn you. So you got to be careful with that. It's in a very special plastic bottle, the stuff I have, and there's a warning right on there. You don't ever put full strength food grade hydrogen peroxide in your body or even on your body. You mix it, you dilute it.
Three drops in 8 ounces of water.
Right.
That's it. Right.
So
the thing is, if you don't have something that's broke or not functioning well, why fix it?
Well, they say I have dental problems, and they say it's really good for, you know, cleaning out the bacteria. I don't
think I'd put peroxide on your teeth, because that'll start in your gums, and your gums are holding your teeth in place.
What about that? Well, no, I mean the gums. I mean, and then I use Coisis after that, and that's got
chlorine dioxide. There's a lot of things that there's in nature that you can use for antibiotics, like honey and salt water and things like that, cloves.
Natural touches,
but you know, peroxide itself wasn't meant for internal use.
Oh, well, anyway,
There may be other uses for it now that I don't know about, but the thing is, a lot of people, just to hear something that peroxide can do this or that or the other thing, they start doing it and thinking, well, maybe that'll improve my health, when their health wasn't bad to begin with, and then they start having problems later. They might be doing something that's hurting them.
Oh, well.
I take nothing. I am on no prescriptions, no nothing. I am 80 years old. I've worked as a nurse for 40 years. In the last 40 years, I've come into contact with almost every communicable disease known to man, and I have not had a sick day in my life for the past 40 years.
Okay.
And I've had contact. I worked in a nursing home with plenty of sick old people, and I went in and prayed with them, held hands and hugged them and kissed them goodnight every night. And I came home and I've been healthy. So I never got anything through the skin or anything that made me sick, because I maintained my health by eating right if I could, drinking as much as I could, water, and just maintaining my health day by day, but mainly by not worrying about it every minute. I don't wake up in the morning and say, oh my gosh, am I going to have a heart attack today? No, I put that in Yahweh's hands.
Mm-hmm.
And if I go out into the public, I'm not going to go in the fear of saying, oh my gosh, I'm going to catch something through my skin, but somebody is going to shed something on me. Well, the heck with that. I'm going to live my life. I'm not going to have them put fear in me so that every day I live in fear, and that's going to shorten my life by 10 years just for fear and frustration. Mm-hmm. You lose weight, you panic, you start acting ugly toward other people. Stop thinking about that stuff. Start thinking about things one day at a time as you go, 1 minute at a time as you go, and not worry all the time about hurt you or what might not hurt you. And we should start thinking more about getting rid of those bastards that are causing all this crap in the world. That's what we need to do. Not worry if we're going to catch ourselves. Hey, if we're all going to go down fighting and catch whatever we can, let's do it with a musket in our hand and blow their heads off. Sorry, okay. It just gets me very upset that people all the time are worrying about how they're going to stay healthy, how they're going to not catch this, how they're never, not going to catch that, when they should be worrying about what we're going to do with those people that are wrecking our lives and killing us, and we're paying taxes for them to do it. That's wrong. I yield.
Don't hold back, Ella. Tell us what you're really thinking.
I never hold back. You know that.
You wouldn't happen to be Finnish, would you?
I live alone. I'm 100% Finn, totally.
Oh, okay.
And I have a Finnish temper. I have a Finnish personality, and I have Finnish smarts. I am a heck of a lot of smart people back there, and stupid in me. And I'm the only one that lives with me, so I can tell me this, too. I talk to myself in the mirror all the time.
Oh, good. You're not the only one.
I love you all, but I do speak my own opinion, and with what I've experienced, that's all I can tell you is my experience with things. I can't tell you that Sally Jones next door, which there isn't really one, went to her brother-in-law's sister's house, and they had a jab, and then she started her menstrual period 2 days later and had a hysterectomy and lost a child a year later. So therefore, she must have been shed on by those people she went to visit. I don't buy it. That's only my opinion. Okay, I'll shut up. Bye.
Yeah, so Ella, you actually didn't represent correctly the situation that I did, because I actually am a toxicologist, and I actually know something about when things happen at the same time and what it means, actually, what it portends, moreover. We have so much medical data now on what the shedding really does to people that you need to look into it before you make a decision. Because if you don't, first of all, know what the actual components are in
care.
Oh, that's interesting. That's what comes across. That's what comes across from you. It's that you don't care about facts or what other people say, but you only care about what you think.
Don't put words in my mouth. I don't care.
No, I'm not.
There are other things to...
I would never put words in your mouth. I'm not putting words in your mouth. I'm just saying what you said. Okay? And what you said is that you don't care. You said that very emphatically. You don't care. Everybody heard you say, I don't care. Who heard you say that?
Wait a minute now. That was partially.
No, I'm just quoting you, my dear.
Okay. One at a time. And also... people are breaking up terribly. Susan, your mic was extremely garbled. And Ella, your signal is going in, so we're getting about every third or second word. So just, I don't know if it's your signals or you're too close to the mic or maybe you're too emotional. That might be it. I don't know. All I know is you guys were going on back and forth, and the rest of us could pick up about every third or fourth word. So just so you're aware of that.
What I say is I agree with Ella when she says, let's not be fearful, of course. But what she's presuming is that what I'm saying about toxics in the injections is fear. It's not about fear at all. It's facts. There are people all over the world who have been looking into the microscopy and electron microscopy and spectroscopy of these vials. And they're getting a pretty good sense of what's in them. And it's very, very bad. There's never been anything like this before on planet Earth, really, that anyone has put into a widely develop widely distributed injection. This is unprecedented. No. And so anybody who just says, oh, that's fear. No, it's not fear. These are facts that you can you can look at. You can see them in the microscopy if you just look at papers that have that. Or you could see, and look, you're just trying to speak over me. I see your capital letters, Bella, and I see what you're saying. She says, I refuse, right? And la, 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 la. In other words, you're closing your ears to facts that I'm trying to give you. Why? Only because I care about you. I care about everybody here. I care about you, and you need to know if you don't know. I was commissioned to create a whole presentation on this last year, last June. I was commissioned to create a presentation on what to do if you've been injected or if you've been exposed to those who have been injected, precisely because of the nanomaterials, among other things, that are in these injections. Nanomaterials get through your skin. Okay, they go from skin to skin. It's skin contact. And these are toxic things that either don't just dissipate, like biological things often do, but they are self-assembling in several cases, like transbiologicals. In nanotech, they are self-assembling. Graphene oxide is self-assembling. So this is stuff that actually, if you will, grows inside you once you've absorbed it from someone else. And so this is a brain. This is because brains are here. God gave us our brains so that we can actually inquire and listen to other people who may have more information than we do occasionally. I may be wrong. You may be wrong, right? We can listen to each other rather than tuning each other out. And we can actually go to primary sources, the people who've actually looked into those microscopes and photographed what's there and told us, informed us, thankfully, what's in there.
Okay.
So we can appreciate. Thank you. That's all.
Yeah, we got a hand up. John, go ahead, John.
Johnny.
I think there's a lot of cat fighting. I just wish that people would.
You're too far away from your microphone, John. Can barely hear you.
I just wish that people would get along a little bit because this is a cat fight and it's ridiculous. So, I mean, this is, I'm trying to sit there and have a conversation, but it's becoming more of a disgusting right now, to be honest.
Can I chime in?
Yeah, go ahead, John.
No, this is Henry.
Oh, Henry, I'm sorry, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not taking sides. I'm simply going to give you a little testimony, okay? This seems to be the subject matter tonight. We want to talk about the jabs and the shedding and all that. Okay, so my wife had a very, very good job working in administration at a hospital in Rhode Island. And she was forced out because she refused a jab. And she did anything she could to try to make ends meet. She worked as a house cleaner. And that wasn't working out too well. We need to make ends meet just like everyone else. I'm disabled, so I have a very small income. And so my wife eventually, she was making applications all over the place mm-hmm. for all kinds of work. Yeah. She was willing to do just about anything. But at that particular time, without the job, you couldn't get work. Not around here. I live in the Northeast. So she finally found, of all places, a lawyer's office. Now, ideally, I wouldn't want my wife to work in a lawyer's office. But it was the best and the only place that offered her employment without the job.
Reception.
As a simple job, she started off as a receptionist. She's already working her way up. However, she's been there for a year. She works with everyone. How many people work there?
Seven.
She works with seven lawyers and various other people that work in the law office.
Closely.
And she works very closely with them. She shares the
copier,
the
kitchen,
and comes in close quarters. Now, I've told her, I don't know if shedding is legit or not, but it's wise.
and it's prudent to take precautions. Don't be rubbing up against people if they're whatever. Don't, you know, if they're coughing, whatever. Don't touch people that, you know, all these basic things. But I'm not going to have her wear a stupid mask like Jeff Rentz would have her do. But all I'm saying is I kind of agree completely with what Ella's saying, because my wife goes there, works amongst these people. She didn't really have much of a choice, and she's being careful, but she's not going there in fear and afraid that because she's working with people who are shedding, that but people who have been jabbed, that she's going to get sick. She takes very good care of herself. She eats very well.
Yep.
She exercises, unlike I can't because of my back. But, I mean, all I'm saying is I kind of agree with Ella's take on this completely. It's common sense. And that's just my two cents, and it's a legitimate testimony.
Well, I've never been sick.
And she never gets sick, ever. So.
Right. So you're what you're saying is then she's been in the environment and she's been around people that have got this poison put in them.
Yep.
But here's something I want people to understand. I had one of my associates, and I guess you would call him a friend, but he found out recently that his wife, who cleans homes for a couple doctors and cleans their offices, forced her to get the jab, and he did not know that. She knows his feelings about it, and she was afraid she'd get fired, and so she did not tell him. So she got two, I think, injections, and he is out of his mind upset. Number one is the fact that she did not trust him and look to him as head of the household enough to tell him what the situation is and let him help her or be part of the decision-making. She just went around him. That's number one. But like I told him, and what everybody has to understand is, just because you got something shot into your arm, you don't know what you got.
Yeah.
There were different doses.
Oh, yeah.
Different strengths of dosages. There were placebos. There were saline water solutions. Even some of the poisonous ones were not kept cold enough and became bad. So just because somebody says they got stabbed and had some kind of a liquid put in their arm doesn't tell you exactly what you're dealing with, because we don't know. So I told him, you need to take your wife and have her either have her blood tested or talk to a naturopath or somebody who can assess whether she has had any kind of adverse reaction to whatever it was they put in her, because we really don't know. That's the other sad thing about it. Just because the vial they're holding looks legitimate, it doesn't tell you a damn thing about what that fluid is in there. And so that exacerbates the problem tremendously. So, and that's why, and I agree with Henry and those who are saying, I put all my faith in the Father. I'm not going to, I don't go out and push my luck. I don't go out to the beaches anymore or the bars much or any of that stuff. But if I did want to stop in a bar and have a beer, I would do it. I'm not gonna live in like a hermit because of these idiots and what they've done. I'm going to maintain my defenses, which is my body, to the best of my ability, and trust the fact that my body was created to handle almost any situation out there. We get, from my experience, we tend to have our episodes of feeling ill because the body is detoxifying. Somehow we've been around too many toxins, and the body is getting rid of them, which is exactly what it should do. Kumri's here, my son, and he's done a lot of work looking into cancer. And it's kind of funny that years ago he told me he'd been looking into it, and he thought that his research into what cancer is and does reminded him of a fungus, that it acts much like a fungus. And I just got a report that came across my desk 2 days ago that was saying that very thing, that these researchers and all are now thinking that cancer is like a fungus. The point of it is, it's not what they're telling us. And as he found out too, when a tumor forms around a cancer as part of your body, the tumor is separating the healthy part of the body from the diseased part of the body. And yet, we allow the medical field to tell us that the tumor is the problem and we need to cut it out. That's ridiculous. That would be like saying cut the calluses off your hands because you didn't wear gloves when you went out to garden today, and now you get great big blisters on them and they're going to turn into a callus. And so you must have cancerous hands. You've got diseased hands because you have calluses on them.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's the same kind of thing in the area of cancers. And a lot of people, believe it or not, I've lost family. I've lost close friends. My son, like I said, does all this research. And what I'm finding out is what Dr. Lorraine Day and all of them say, you're better off not doing anything and just do the natural stuff. And you'd be surprised what the body can do. I learned that from my Italian friend when his beloved wife got cancer. This was back in the 1980s. And he got scared, so he went, what we should do, he went to the library and got every book on cancer he could find. And he told her, you're going to quit smoking. You're going to eat better. You're going to drink more water. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. And into remission. She went into remission for like 2 or 3 years. And then she got worried. Fear. Here we go with fear again. She went into the doctor because she was worried. He said, oh my gosh, you need to go back on the regimens. And so she went back and did some chemo and radiation. And the next thing you know, he was making funeral arrangements. So we gotta trust what the Creator gave us. And we have to understand that many of our problems are self-induced, whether it's mental, emotional, or physical. They're self-induced because of our diets, mental state, spiritual state, and the things that that we do. And if you clean up your act, just like it says in the book, repent. That's what repent means. It doesn't mean to get a whip and flog yourself. It doesn't mean to go down and put a $100 bill in the plate at the church so that you can feel better. It means wake up and rethink. Repent. Okay? Rethink what you're doing. Stop doing the bad stuff. We all need to stop doing that, whether it's worrying about things we shouldn't worry about, whether it's worshiping God in the form of government or doctors or institutions or organized church. All of those things are idols. We got to stop being idol worshipers. Money and those sorts of things, those are idols. And we got to stop being idol worshipers. Worship the Creator himself and trust each other, trust what our senses are telling us, what our gut is telling us, and you're going to be better off. You know, I lost my nephew a few years ago, my brother's only child, to cancer, 28 years old. And after a year-long struggle and watching what it did to him, because they went the route of the radiation and the chemotherapy, the first words that the family said after we came home from the funeral was, you know, looking back at it, it had been almost as good to, if we did nothing at all, things would have worked out almost the same or maybe better if we did nothing, which many people had said a year earlier that statistically you have the same odds whether you do anything or do everything they tell you. And yet nobody wants to believe us. Those of us have been studying natural health and things like that, that most people typically, what do you know? You don't have a college degree. You don't have MD after your name. You don't have PhD after your name. So what do you know? Well, Christ didn't have that either. The ancient naturopaths didn't have that either. They were just known as the local healers. They knew which herbs to get. They knew what to do to take care of common things, toothaches and headaches and upset stomach, because Yahweh put everything right here in the yard outside your house and in the woods down below your house. It's all out there, everything you need. Our world is upside down because we've turned our back on everything he's told us, everything he wanted us to do. We've walked away from it because some guy in a lab coat or some guy with credentials has told us they have a better way. I don't know. I'm old-fashioned. I say, no, they don't. They're liars. I'm going to be old-fashioned. So I'm going to go ahead and yield because I'm 12 messages behind and whatever's in the chat room. So if anybody has anything, floor is open.
Well, obviously the drugs are killers, and everyone I think here agrees with that. And we can avoid them to a certain extent, but there are times that we cannot avoid the hazards that we're imposed upon with, right? Geoengineering, other things. Yeah, I'm sorry, I can't fix my mic, Henry. It just happens. That's this computer. It's real old. Sorry about that.
Yep. Well, as I told friends of mine, my naturopath, who I've known for 20 years, she was helping somebody I know that was suicidal. And part of the reason he was suicidal is because he took himself off the medication he was on. And she would very quickly told him that there were two ingredients in that medication that he must have. So naturopaths are not completely anti-pharmaceutical. A true naturopath admits that there are times, especially if it is an acute situation, because natural usually takes time. So if you have an acute situation, as he had, his depression was leading him into almost being suicidal. So he went and got his medication and started taking it again, and his mood leveled out, and he was no longer suicidal. So we're not 100% against pharmaceuticals. We're against the fact that they're pushed, and everything is a pharmaceutical. Every problem, the first thing they want to do is put you on a drug. They don't want to address your diet, your lifestyle, none of that. And that's the part that we get upset. They've become drug pushers, the medical profession. I've seen a cases where they don't even do an assessment. They don't even come in and look you over, run any tests or whatever. They'll start reaching up the cabinet to give you a sample of some drug just from something you told them without looking into it at all. So anyway, floor's open. Does anybody have anything else? John, is your hand up from before, or is this new?
It's the same, but I got one comment to make, is that you're talking about the skin can't go through. Well, the only thing I'll disagree is if you have an open wound. Things can get in there, you can get infected. That's just common. I mean, maybe...
It's hard to hear you, John.
Can you hear me?
Barely.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, it's okay. Go ahead.
Okay. All I'm saying is that there's a problem with, if somebody breaks the skin, you can get contact through there. That's just the way it is. You can get infections, stuff like that. So that's just me. I guess I'm not the sharpest tool in the shop, but I mean, if you have an open wound and you're not going to take care of it and around somebody who's got some kind of crap, you're going to get sick. But that's, it's to patch up the wound and make sure that everything, is dressed up properly. But things can happen if you don't take care of it.
Yep. Yep. Even in the natural health classes, they will tell you that, you know, your skin is your one of your greatest defenses, but if you get a break in the skin, now that all goes away. So that is a pathway to the inside. So yeah, you're right. If you get an abrasion or a cut, you definitely want to, I'm looking at a note here. You definitely want to get that patched up and cleaned out and put antiseptic on it or honey or any of the other things that are natural antiseptics. You want to definitely also eat garlic and all those good things. So a lot of common sense things to do. That's the whole point. But cleanliness is next to godliness. That was a saying when I was a boy, even, that would talk at church and at school all the time. Cleanliness is next to godliness. So, okay, yeah. Well, I was looking at some of the comments here. So anyway, we're close to the hour and a half mark here. So anybody have any closing comment or concern or desire or question? Also, be aware of the fact that if I mute you from this end, it's because the microphone is picking up background noise and it's interfering with communication. So I'm not trying to eliminate anybody from the pool. I'm just simply trying to keep the noise level on the line down. So if all of a sudden you end up muted, that's usually why. Okay, so let's see. All right, well, I don't have anything else, so I guess we'll I'll close it out with a short prayer, and then we'll continue on with our evenings and get together at next week. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you for the opportunity to come together as brothers and sisters. These are perilous times, as you told us it would be, chaotic times, watching the natural world and the geopolitical world in total upheaval. You told us ahead of time that this would happen so that we would not be forsaken and we would not be overly concerned. These are the signs that meant that your coming would be soon. And so our prayer is that you would return and establish the kingdom upon this earth very, very soon. And we also pray Obadiah 18 will be fulfilled in the very near future, and Satan's kids be eradicated from this poor earth so we can restore things to the way you intended it to be, and our lives can be a whole lot better, and we would actually have true liberty on the land. Be with us and guide us in all that we say and do to thy glory and for thy kingdom, and protect us from our enemies. In Yahweh's name we pray. Amen.
Mm-hmm.